You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Let's get into this morning, this new series, Whisper. What this series is all about is learning to hear the voice of God. How many of you want to learn to better hear the voice of God in your life? You want to know God's purpose, God's will. You want to know that God is guiding you. Yeah, I saw a lot of hands go up because that's why we're here. And that's what this series is all about. You know, here's the thing. I heard an interesting story this past week about one of the most renowned ear, nose, and throat doctors of the last century, a French doctor by the name of Dr. Alfred Tomatis. And he was confronted with the most curious and challenging case of his 50-year medical practice when a famous opera singer came to him who was no longer able to hit notes that were well within his range. Now, this opera singer had gone to many other doctors, many other specialists, and many of them thought he had a problem with his voice. But Dr. Tomatis knew otherwise. He measured this opera singer's voice with a sonometer, and he found that he was producing 140 decibel wavelength sound at a meter's distance. That is actually louder than a jet plane taking off from an aircraft carrier. And out of those findings, he diagnosed this opera singer and realized that he had actually become deaf from the sound of his own voice. Can you imagine that? He could no longer hit those notes because he couldn't hear those notes. And as Dr. Tomatis famously said, the voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. The French Academy of Medicine dubbed it the Tomatis effect. Now, here's my theory this morning. We all have problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems, relational problems. I've got mine. You've got yours. Come on, what we all have in common is we've all got our stuff, don't we? And a lot of times we think the problems are the problems, but I really think many of our problems are actually symptoms. They're symptoms of a deeper rooted problem. That is a spiritual Tomatis effect. We have lost the ability to hear God's voice. It happens for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it's because the voice of self-doubt is louder in our head. Sometimes it's because the voice of this culture, which is calling to us to conform to its ways, drowns out the voice of God. Sometimes it's the voice of condemnation. You know, the scripture says that the enemy is our accuser. Sometimes we hear that voice louder than God's voice. But here's the thing. Many times when God wants to speak to us, his voice comes in the form of a whisper. Now, you and me, we're used to living in a world where everything is shouted at us, right? People are loud. Media is loud. Our phones are buzzing and beeping all the time. Media is in the marketing world is marketing products to us 24/7. But God's voice comes in the form of a whisper. And you have to lean in to hear a whisper, don't you? You got to get close to hear a whisper. And that's what God wants for us. See, the thing is, God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? And is his voice the loudest voice in our lives? So in this series and in our life groups the next few weeks, we're going to discuss some of the ways that we can hear God's voice. And I know for some of you, you know, some of you are familiar with this subject. For some of you, not so much. It's very, very uncomfortable for you to hear a message about God speaking to me. What are you talking about, Pastor Jeremy? Is God going to speak to me in an audible voice? Like, I thought they put people in the mental ward when they start hearing God speaking to them, like voices in their head. What is this all about? Well, you know, listen, the truth is I've actually never known someone who's heard the audible voice of God. I've read about great men and women of God who have had visions and heard God's voice. But we're going to look at some different ways that we can hear God's voice in our everyday lives, through scripture, through other believers, through dreams, desires, even in our pain, God can speak to us. But this morning, I want to just lay some foundation. And I want to talk to you about some principles. I want to share with you some principles for hearing God's voice. I want to invite you to take notes this morning. When you came in, you should have received a note sheet. If you want to find that, you can jot some notes down or put some notes in your phone. But some principles, I want to give you three principles this morning for hearing God's voice. And this morning, our text is 1 Samuel chapter 3 in the Old Testament. We're going to look at the story of Samuel hearing the call of God. Samuel was a great prophet of God, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Samuel, his mother, was a very godly woman named Hannah. And Hannah had cried out and prayed to God for years to have a child because she was barren. She wasn't able to have children. And God gave her this miraculous child, Samuel, her firstborn. She went on to have, I believe, 5 children total, but she dedicated her son Samuel to God. She gave him back to God, this gift that God had given her. And Samuel, from a very young age, went to live in the temple, which was in a city called Shiloh at that time, not Jerusalem. And he went to go live and serve in the temple, dedicated to God. He served alongside the great high priest Eli. And so that's the background of this story, when Samuel as a young boy has this amazing encounter with God. So let me give you the first principle. We're talking about principles for hearing God's voice. Number one, you got to position yourself to hear God's voice. Put that in your notes. Position yourself to hear God's voice. Let's jump into our story this morning. I'm using the NIV if you want to follow us on whatever digital device you're using, but the words are going to be on the screen. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. So here's Samuel. He's just a young boy serving and living in the temple. Eli's this aging, older priest. And one night, God begins to speak to Samuel, calls him, and he thinks Eli's calling him. He runs to Eli, and he's like, go back to sleep, boy. I didn't call you. Leave me alone. So here's the thing. First of all, you got to position yourself to hear God's voice. See, Samuel was in a quiet place. Samuel was in the temple. Samuel was in a place positioned to hear God's voice. Look at verse 3. It says, Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Pretty good place to hear God's voice. He lived at the temple, a place that was dedicated to prayer. He was sleeping next to the ark, like the place, the symbolic place where God's presence rested. So he was positioned to hear the voice of God. See, most of us in here, I think many of us would say, yeah, I want to hear the voice of God. But most of us are so busy, and we have so many distractions, and we have so much noise in our lives that we wouldn't hear God's voice if he spoke to us audibly, because he couldn't get a word in. Because we just have so much noise and busyness in our lives. Let me give you an example, and I think the parents will track with me this morning. Any of you parents ever try to have a phone conversation when your kids are in the background making noise? Come on, parents. Let's just have a group therapy session for just a moment, right? It happens all the time. It happens to me and Amy all the time. Somebody calls us at the house, you know, something for church business, whatever. And, you know, isn't it amazing how it's quiet when you first get on the phone, right? And then, like, you're 20 seconds into the conversation, and your kids are screaming, like, bloody murder in the background. Like, they think the person on the phone with you thinks somebody's literally dying, right? And you're talking, you're trying to be polite, but you're not hearing anything the person's saying. You're like, uh-huh, yeah, you're talking, and you're totally distracted, and you're like, I'm so sorry, my kids are being so loud, can you excuse me for one moment? You put the phone down, you look at your kids like, shut up, or I'm going to kill you, I'm going to strangle you. Then you get back on the phone, hello, I'm back, I'm sorry about that, in your politest voice, right? Come on, parents, you know what I'm talking about? It drives you crazy. Here's the thing, if you want to hear God's voice first, you have to position yourself by tuning out all of the noise and distractions. You got to get still. You got to get before him. You got to get intentional. You got to position yourself. And I think it's interesting that our culture as a whole is kind of waking up to this, even our secular culture. I mean, many of you, if you use the subway or the Metro North, have you seen these posters for transcendental meditation? It's becoming very popular, right? It's because our culture is kind of having this collective awakening to the fact that our souls are cluttered. We have too much noise, too much busyness. These cell phones are the greatest thing that ever happened to us and the worst thing that ever happened to us, and we're not healthy. So even our culture is waking up to the fact that, man, we need to get still. We need to quiet our spirits and get emotionally and mentally and spiritually healthy. And so you got to tune out the noise. The great spiritualist and author Graham Cook says this. He said, we have to hear God's silence before we can listen to his voice. See, after the first step is you got to tune out the noise to hear God's voice. And then you got to tune into his voice. You ever been driving maybe on a road trip, and you know, you're flipping around listening to the radio, and as you're getting away from whatever city or wherever you're picking up that signal, you start to lose it, right? And you have to hit the search button to try to find the exact frequency because you're starting to lose that station, right? You have to get on the same wavelength with that station. It's the same way with God. God is speaking. Sometimes we wonder why we can't hear his voice, but we've got to get tuned in. We've got to get on the same wavelength with him so that we can hear his voice. And so we have to position ourselves. And I know for some of you, you might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, maybe that works for you because you're a pastor. You can pray 2 or 3 hours a day, but I have a busy life. I have a career. I have bills. I have kids. Can I just be honest with you? I don't wake up first thing in the morning and think about praying for 2 hours. I have a to-do list like you. I'm naturally wired. I'm very task-oriented. I'm a very driven person. I usually wake up with all the things that I have to do on my mind as well. I've got kids. I've got bills. Somebody asked me one time, what do pastors do? They kind of think, you know, pastors just work on Sundays. Must be nice. And I was like, how do I explain like the craziest job description in the world? And I said, well, it's kind of like being the CEO of a business, except you have a TED Talk due every 7 days. How's that? But the reality is I've learned to position myself. I've learned that I have to have that time in God's presence, but I have to carve it out. I have to fight for it just like you, because I can easily put in a full, you know, week of work, working on church things and business and things I have to get done and not have that time. And so you got to position yourself. And usually your position involves a time and a place. For some of you, it's morning. You're a morning person. Things are quiet in the morning. For some of you, it's late at night after kids are in bed or whatever, after you're home from work. For some of you, maybe it's just putting some headphones on the commute to work, on, you know, on the train or driving in, just having some time in worship to hear God's voice. Whatever it is, find your time, find your place, position yourself. Okay, here's the second thing. Number two, you got to grow your relationship to hear God's voice. Not only do we need to position ourselves, but we have to grow our relationship with God to hear his voice. Look at this, verse 6. So here's Samuel. He's heard the voice of God once already, gone to Eli. And then look at verse 6. It says, again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And then verse 8, a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So principle number two, we're talking about some principles, just some foundational things for hearing God's voice, and that is you have to grow your relationship. You need to grow in your relationship with God so that you can discern the voice of God. Look at verse 7, key verse here. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. See, Samuel didn't know God's voice, and he mistook God's voice for Eli's voice because he hadn't developed a relationship with God yet. He was still a young boy. He wasn't walking that closely with God yet to know his voice. Can you imagine this? Imagine making an acquaintance with someone. Maybe you meet someone at a dinner, business, or at a conference, or at some kind of social gathering, and you exchange cards with that person. Imagine that person calls you out of the clear blue and just starts talking to you, expecting you to know who they are. You'd be a little bit confused, wouldn't you? It actually happened to me a few weeks ago. I met somebody somewhere. I don't even remember where it was. Maybe at a conference or something. And this other pastor, like, or person called me up. And we were like 2 minutes into the conversation, and what do? I had no idea who it was. So I'm just playing along. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? So good to hear from you. I don't know who the heck this is, but I'm just going along with it, right? And then finally, about 2 minutes into the conversation, it clicked, and I realized who the person was. But here's the deal. When I call home, when I call my mom, because I'm a good boy, I call my mom at least once a week. I check in, yes, because I want to be included in the family inheritance. If the rest of my brothers get cut out, whatever, I'm going to have their portion. So I call home to stay in my mother's good graces. And when I call, I don't, you know, pick up the phone, introduce myself. Yes, this is Jeremy Ziegler, your third son calling, right? Like, I'm like, hey, mom, how you doing? Because we know each other's voice. And just like any relationship, there's a connection between knowing God and recognizing his voice. See, Samuel mistook God's voice for that of Eli. And I think we often do the same thing. We make the same mistake. Like God wants to speak to us, but we often misinterpret the message, or we ignore it altogether because we don't recognize his voice. And many times, here's the worst thing. We don't discern the difference between God's voice and all the other voices that we're hearing. And sometimes we even listen to the wrong voices. See, this is really, really important. as you grow in your relationship with God, just like any relationship with a person, you begin to know and recognize his voice. And many times I believe God is wanting to speak to us, but because we haven't pursued our relationship with him, his voice isn't as familiar to us. And sometimes there are voices coming to us from a lot of different places. Can I just tell you, you know, I just want to tell you this morning. One of the fastest ways to mess up your life is to let somebody get close to you who doesn't have godly wisdom speak wisdom into your life. You want a shortcut to messing up your life? I have people come to me all the time and somebody gave them the worst possible advice. Or they got two or three people telling them what to do and say, listen, I want to help you out. You know, I'm glad to help you as your pastor speak into your life, but you're going to have to tune out some of those other voices because I can't speak to you from what God's word says and be competing with all these other crazy voices that you have in your life. You got to learn to get familiar and build a relationship with God so that you know his voice. Now, sometimes we need somebody who's more experienced. We need another believer, maybe who's more spiritually mature than us to help us discern the voice of God. See, Samuel needed Eli, and we all need an Eli in our lives. We believe in that. I believe that relationships are pivotal. They're essential for spiritual growth. We're better together. I need believers who have been walking with God longer than me. I have spiritual mentors in my life. That's important, but we have to get to a place where we can begin to recognize God's voice for ourselves. Mark Batterson, the author of the book Whisper, says this: relying on someone else for your spiritual growth is spiritual codependency. You got to know that God wants to have a relationship with you, and you can learn to discern his voice in your life. Yes, we need each other. Yes, we need other believers, but I'm telling you, there's a place in your relationship with God where you need to be able to discern his voice for your life. I'm privileged to stand up here every Sunday and share the word of God with you. It's my calling. It's my joy in life. The calling of a pastor is to build up the congregation. The scripture says to equip the saints with the word of God. I'm thankful to do that, but I just want to tell you this morning, I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. You have to get to a place where you can learn to hear God's voice yourself, where the voice of God, it sounds like scripture. It sounds like his will, and like you're tuned into it and you recognize it for your life. I'm here to cheer you on. I'm here to preach to you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm going to do whatever I can to help you with that. But at some point in time, you have to take ownership of this for yourself and say, God, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have a relationship. I want to know your voice. And so grow your relationship to grow your ability to hear God's voice. And then here's the third thing. We're talking about just some principles for hearing God's voice. Number three, cultivate your desire to hear God's voice. Got to cultivate your desire. Got to be intentional. Look at verses 9 and 10. So a third time, right? Samuel has heard the call of God. And he goes to Eli. And Eli's like, yeah, it's not me calling you. And he realizes, he discerns that it's God calling this young boy. Look at the advice he gives in verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. So here's the third principle. We have to cultivate a desire. This is about being intentional. This isn't just I'm positioned. That's important. I'm positioned. I found my time. I found my place. And I'm growing in my relationship with God, right? I'm prioritizing being in his house on Sundays. I'm reading his word. You know, I'm pursuing a relationship with him. But this is about being intentional, about hearing and listening. How many of you know that hearing and listening are two different things? They're not necessarily the same thing. Like, you can hear and not actually be listening. I mean, for example, my wife has discovered that trying to speak to me when I'm watching a football game is not a very effective manner of communication. It's not an optimal time to talk to me, right? Because I'll be locked in, you know, watching a football game, and Amy comes up and she starts talking to me about something. And as she's talking, I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, yes, dear, yes, love you too, uh-huh, yeah. And I'm just shaking my head, and she's talking, and then she'll get to this point, and she's like, so what do you think? And I'm like, what do I think? She's like, well, yeah, what do you think? I'm like, about what? She's like, you know, like about what I was just talking to you about the whole time. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? And she's like, you weren't listening. Like the whole 5 minutes, you weren't listening to me. Because I was hearing her, but I wasn't listening. Come on, parents, we know there's a difference between your kids hearing you and actually listening. Sometimes you wonder if there's some selective hearing going on. Like, do we speak the same language? Hello? You gotta cultivate your intention, your desire to know God's voice. And so verse 10, Eli teaches Samuel an amazing principle that helps us here. And it's this idea of saying, God, speak, for your servant is listening. I'm listening, God, I'm ready. God, I am positioned. I've positioned myself to hear from you. Like, I know your voice. Now speak, because I'm tuned in and I wanna know your will for my life. I'm your servant and I'm ready to go. Speak, for your servant is listening. I'm positioned to submit myself to your will, not just to hear you, but to listen. How many of you know that it's a servant's job to do the master's will? Servants don't get to like negotiate what parts of the master's will they want to listen to, right? Like if you picture a scenario where someone has a housekeeper or someone working for them and they go to them, they give them a list of things. Can you imagine the servant saying, yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that, but the other stuff, not so much. Nah, maybe, you know. It doesn't work that way, right? If you're a servant and you're not submitted to the master's will, you're not going to be a servant very long, are you? You're going to be unemployed. And so I think the question is, do we really want God's voice guiding us? Do we really want his voice guiding us? Because that means that we have to actually align our will with his will. And can we just be honest this morning? Sometimes we don't like God's will. Sometimes God asks us to do something we don't really like to do. We don't really want to do. It's like, God, are you sure? Like, God, you want me to help that person? Like, God, come on, there's a lot of other people I'd like to help, but you want me to help that person? Why? This is about intentionally submitting your will to his. See, if we're not willing to listen to everything that God has to say to us, eventually we won't receive anything he has to say to us. If you want to hear the comforting voice of God in your life, you have to be willing to hear the convicting voice of God in your life. And so I think we have to make this decision, first of all, like, God, do I actually want to obey your voice if I hear your voice? Like, if you speak to me and when you speak to me, am I actually going to do the thing you're speaking to me about? Am I positioned to say, God, speak, for your servant is listening? See, when you get close enough to someone, when you have a relationship with somebody that you love, like a spouse or a close relationship, a friend, a family member, you get all of their voice, right? Not just the parts that you like, you get all of it. You get every part of it. I mean, my wife, Amy, she stands up here, she sings. She has a beautiful voice, doesn't she? And you get that. Yeah, let's give her a hand. She has a beautiful voice. And you get that on Sunday morning. And I get that on Sunday morning. And most of the time, listen, she's a loving, tender, caring, sweet person. Much nicer than me, I promise you. But if you mess with this woman when she's trying to sleep and you wake her up, you will get another side of her voice that you don't want to hear. Every now and then I'll come in the room and I'll make too much noise and I'll start talking to her and she's trying to sleep and she wakes up and she's like, leave me alone now. There's a voice that comes out of this woman that does not sound like what you hear on Sunday morning. See, when you get close enough to somebody, you get all of their voice. Come on, here's the thing. We have to make a decision. Before we actually encounter God's voice, we have to decide, what are we going to do when we hear it? Because when you get close enough to him, you don't get to have selective hearing. You get all of his voice for your life. You get the parts that challenge you and the parts that affirm you. You get the convicting voice. You get the comforting voice. And you have to come to this place where you decide that you're going to align your will with his will. Because I think I know many people who come to me on a regular basis. Pastor, would you pray with me? Pastor, I'm trying to make this decision. Like, I want to know God's will. I want to do the right thing. And I'm thinking like, well, I know what scripture says about your situation. I'm not so sure you're going to like the answer. Are you ready to align your will with his will? You see, it's one thing to hear God's voice. It's another thing to say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And so let's look at the rest of the story this morning. God begins to speak to Samuel that night. He calls his voice and he calls his name, and Samuel says, speak, for your servant is listening. And God begins to speak to him. And look at this, verse 19 and 21. We'll skip down. It says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Bathsheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And so God begins to speak to Samuel. And for the rest of his days, he speaks into his life. Samuel becomes known as someone who hears the voice of God, who speaks on God's behalf. Samuel goes on to be one of the greatest prophets. He's the voice of God for a generation. He anoints King David. He anoints King Saul. He speaks to the people of Israel for a generation on God's behalf. And see, from that day on, God gave Samuel a prophetic voice, but it started with a prophetic ear. It started with his ability to hear God's voice. You know, we live in a culture where everybody wants to have a voice. Everybody wants to have something to say. Come on, social media has given everybody a platform. People want to have something to say. They want their voice to be heard. They want to get their opinion across. But how many of you discover that a lot of people don't have nothing to say? They're talking, but they don't have a lot to say. Listen to me. This is so important because our world desperately needs some people who can speak with a voice that sounds like God's voice. This is personal this morning. Listen to me. If your family needs this, your kids need this, your coworkers need this, your loved ones, there are people around you who need you to speak with the voice of God into their lives. They need godly wisdom. They need words of healing. They need words of direction. Like we need to hear from some people whose ears are tuned in into God's voice. But here's the deal. You can't speak for God if you haven't heard from him. So it starts with this ability to discern God's voice, because the voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. And so our prayer today is, Lord, speak. Speak, for your servant is listening. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray with you. We're going to receive communion in just a moment. We're going to position ourselves this morning to say, God, I want to hear your voice more clearly. I want your will for my life. I want you ordering my steps. I want to be the husband, the wife, the father, the mother, the friend, the son, the co-worker, the believer that you called me to be. I want to be somebody, Lord, who walks with you, who hears from you, who discerns your voice for my life, so that I can speak into the lives of others. Let's pray this morning. As we begin this series, this is a great time for us just to commit ourselves, to consecrate ourselves and say, God, on this journey over the next 4 weeks, I'm committing myself to be better tuned into your voice. God, I'm dialing into your frequency, to your wavelength this morning. Let's make that intentional. Would you just pray? It's just a prayer of commitment. Pray that with me this morning. For some of you, this is a big step to even pray something like this. Maybe there are people in this place today, you'd say, Pastor, I'm not even quite sure what I believe about that. My prayer for you this morning is that you would just take a step towards saying, God, I'm open. I'm open. Like, this is a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but Lord, at least, God, I'm going to put one toe in the water. And my prayer is, God, I'm open. I'm open to the possibility that you might want to speak to me through your word, through other believers who have been walking with you, through signs, through different ways you want to get my attention. But let's pray this morning. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, every one of us, this is personal for us. Let's invite him to do it in us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you that we believe you're a God who wants to know us, who wants to walk with us, have a relationship with us. God, we thank you that you revealed yourself through your word, through your son, through your spirit who dwells richly inside of us. And Lord, today we desire to know you, to hear your voice in our lives. Lord, help us to tune out all of the clutter and distraction. And Lord, to do our part of finding a place, positioning ourselves to find a place, to find a time where we can position ourselves to hear your voice, to grow in our relationship with you, God, so that your voice is more familiar to us. Lord, this morning we're asking you, God, to help us, because there are times when we don't, if we're just honest, it's hard for us to conform our will to your will. But Lord, today, by the help of your Holy Spirit, we're asking that, Lord, when you do speak to us, when you do begin to guide us, when you do begin to open our eyes to your plans and your will for our life, that, Lord, we would be positioned to say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening, God. Your servants, God. We want to do what you've called us to do. We want to be who you've called us to be. We want to hear from you, God. Lord, would you remind us that there are people in our lives who are counting on us? They need our voice, God, to sound more like yours. God, we live in a broken world with so many hurt, distorted, and deceiving voices. And Lord, we need more voices to sound like yours. So we want to be those kind of people. So we ask you to do it in us. We give you thanks today. Jesus' name, if you believe it, would you say amen? Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.